The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But I think this is his best coaching job.
Oh, no, by far, Carl. By far.
So remember when he gets the job, and I'm just taking you guys back, and then I want to get your thoughts on this. But he gets the job, and he said, hey, we gotta get bigger. He's creating the culture in which he wanted to instill, and he did that in a very short period of time. And then the recruiting classes start coming in, right? One, two, whatever you want to say. But this particular team is not the 21 team, and it's certainly not the 22 team. And I think for Kirby Smart to have this team in position to potentially win another one, Randy, I don't even think it's close as to what he has built and done over the last 8 or 9 seasons and where he's at. This is his ninth year as the coach of Georgia. I think this, in his ninth year, is his best coaching job. You agree and tell me why.
I do, Carl. And the reason why, because you remember those years. Remember when we had, what, Catalina from Rhode Island was a left tackle. And the kid, what was that dork from, no, Randy, do not call him a dork. He's a kid. The guy from Virginia that, yeah, Lambert came the quarterback and everything. But he inherited good players because that's the year, the second year, you know, we had Nick Chubb coming off the, being Nick Chubb and Sony Michel and Wynn and everything like that. But I think this year, and I don't know why, Carl, that's the biggest thing. Obviously, you're not as talented. That was one of the things we talked about, me and Bonk, right before the season. I was like, you know, usually you always hear, like, we heard about Brock Bowers. Like, hey, man, this kid named Brock Bowers, man.
Yep.
He's legit, you know. Oh, this guy. But you didn't hear nothing this summer, calling, especially the receiver position, and you understand why. But I think just the because of the expectations, because I don't think Carson Beck was ready for the expectations that come with what he got. I'm sorry, Carl. I don't. I think he pressed and everything like that. Not saying Carson wasn't good enough to get all the endorsements. I just don't think Carson Beck was ready for all that mentally. I mean, once he put it out of his mind, he started playing better. But, yeah, the way he's coached this team, the way that he has – always stood by the bad part of what we look at on TV, all the drop balls, the quarterback turning the ball over, your defense not being what they were as elite, but yet he continues like, hey, well, they had the ball 22 minutes. That's why we weren't that good. You know what I'm saying, Carl? Like, yep. He knows how to flip it, and he knows his pulse of his team, man. But, yes, I do think this is Kirby's best job. Now, he's a damn hell of a coach anyways. But just as far as how this specific team, with all the deficiencies that they have, to have them the number two team in the country, number two seed, I should say, I think it's phenomenal how he coached this year.
Yeah, and look, if they don't win the Natty, that's not going to be recognized by people outside of Georgia who know what we're talking about, but it needs to be stated.
Yes.
And it needs to be talked about because what we're learning about Kirby is when the talent is not the best in the country, when it's not what it was in 21 or 22, it's still really good. Don't get me wrong. Like we know that Georgia's really good, but it's not that. And he's still able to get his team up to go on the road and win at Texas, right? They still responded. I think, Randy, for me, after they got their butts whipped against Ole Miss, I was like, how do they come back?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, like, to get them ready for that next week where everybody was telling you got physically outplayed and they beat you up and everybody's saying, oh, you know, you guys aren't going to get it done, he had them ready. And I just feel like those are the things that show me a lot about whether or not a guy can really coach. Guys, I will tell you, it's easy to coach great talent.
It
just is. But when your talent is wavering, you talk about your quarterback situation like Randy was talking about. You talk about, you know, overall, this defense, again, is not what it was in 21 when you had record-setting, you know, players and you're putting 15 guys in the NFL. That's this defense. So all of a sudden now, how do I make these guys better? And I just feel like Kirby has done all those necessary things. And I don't want to take anything away from the staff. We know how big the staff is there, and everybody's doing their part. And by the way, are you as critical about Bobo as some people are? I'm not.
No, I mean, okay. First of all, and I'm always partial, and people know this about, I have a personal love for Mike Bobo.
Okay.
All right, that's just a personal thing between me and him. I love Mike. Mike was my tight end coach when I had my best year at Georgia. All right, so I love me some Mike Bobo. But I will get on Mike's ass if I don't see something is going wrong. And I don't see this as Mike Bobo's fault. Meaning, you're dealt the hand that you dealt. All right, and so I don't see the play calling as something. Watch the turnovers. The turnovers aren't because of play calling. You know what I mean? Maybe let's run the ball a little bit more, some Carl. But
okay. A
lot of it ain't because of the play calling. And I hear you and Mike, especially, you know, and Mike talks about it all the time as far as Bobo. Like, somebody has to be the blame. All right, and we had our best teams in Kirby's era when Todd Monken was the OC. It wasn't because Todd Monken was OC. It's because we had...
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Damn good players.
You're right. You know that's
what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? We had 5 first-round defensive linemen. You know, you had Nick. Like, that's why we were so good. Not necessarily the play calling time, because I don't want to take anything away from him. But we had damn good players during those times and everything. So I think it's all hand-in-hand, and you always want to go blame somebody. My biggest thing, and I remember a couple weeks ago, it was for the playoff games, and we were in a crosstalk, and you said Georgia's quarterback issue and everything like that. And I was like, what the hell Carl talking about? But then I got in the car and I listened to your point about what you were saying. I was like, yeah, he's right about that. You know, he's the most unproven player in all of these quarterbacks. I mean, I know we saw him in the back end of the Texas game, but, you know, that's why this line right now with Notre Dame is at 2. I don't believe it would be their call if Carson Beck was playing. You know, right. I watched Notre Dame play bits and bits. I watched the whole game, all right, when they played Indiana, Carl. They're a good football team.
Sure.
They're not a great football team.
Yeah.
All right, they're a good football team. They're not a great football team. But because you're playing a backup quarterback with Georgia, I don't know what to even expect, Carl. But I do believe this. And if you're right, because it's hard for me to say because y'all have damn Manning. But is there another team that you would say maybe can possibly win the backup, with a backup win a national title other than Georgia? Obviously, we know Texas can. But because what you said about Kirby in this damn culture, in this coaching, you still believe they have an opportunity to win it.
Yeah, and here's the other part. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Randy Mack in today, hanging out. Mashup show, guys. We had Coach Raheem Morris on. You're going to hear what he had to say coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Zach Harrison, the big defensive end out of The Ohio State. Randy pressed him about getting his due after the tip ball turned into a touchdown for Judon. You got to hear it coming up. Here's the other thing. Off-the-field distractions.
Mm-hmm.
Not Kirby's fault. But as the head coach, he's got to deal with it.
Yep.
And he dealt – guys, Ra-Ra, Thomas, Kobe, like, not his fault, but he's got to deal with this stuff. Multiple overtime games. A murderous schedule. Like, I could go down the list of things where you go, he's had to deal with this, 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 and this. The schedule alone would have caved most coaches. He didn't complain. They just played. They just showed up and played their schedule. Obviously, new position coaches every year, you know, that happens. But the player suspensions and the injuries and, like, this dude is just – they've overcome all of this stuff. And, guys, they are 2 games away.
Mm-hmm.
from playing for another natty.
I know one thing. I don't like Texas no more. All right, because it's so crazy. Because Carl, we had these conversations before the SEC. No, before we went, because I was on. Me and Donna were doing our thing when they actually played Texas the first time. And then I remember you saying when I got back, guys, they might play each other two more times.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, nobody will hear that. And then when Georgia got into the SEC championship, I was like, but damn, we got to play Texas again. And then there's still this opportunity, Carl, because I do believe. I want to get your thought. I know we got to go to break. What is your between, like, because I think if Ohio State, and we were talking to Zach Harrison, you hear, like Carl said, you hear the conversation next hour. If Ohio State plays the way they played against Tennessee,
they're hard to beat, man.
They're hard as hell to beat. If Texas runs the football the way they did, I want to hear play. I said, if they run the football the way they did against Clemson, which they have not been able to do against Georgia, Texas is going to be hard to beat. You know, like, I don't know what to expect from Oregon and Ohio State coming up. But I know what I saw Saturday. And them two, because I think Penn State is who they are, whatever. I think Texas, I think if Georgia plays well enough around Gunner, we'll beat Notre Dame. But them two, those are two wild cards, Carl, because coming into this tournament, I said there's four teams I think can win the title. I said Oklahoma, I said Ohio State, I said Texas, I said Oregon, I said Georgia. And I still believe that. But damn it, those two teams, if they're playing the first round, if Texas runs the ball, because they're going to play defense, Carl. They're going to play defense.
Yep.
But they do that, and if Ohio State and Chip Kelly figure out that Jeremiah Smith might be the best player in America and throwing the damn ball, that's a problem.
Sark said he leaned into the run game in that matchup against Clemson. Ask Kirby how good he thinks the Clemson defense is. They played them early. I know it was week, like 14 weeks ago. Point is, they got a lot of talent on that defense. I think Sark is trying to, not the entire season, but in these Georgia matchups, don't outsmart yourself.
And Carl, that's what he does.
He does.
That's what he does.
That's what he does. Yep. And instead of leaning into what he did in that Clemson game, in the Georgia games, he didn't do it. I agree with you completely and wholeheartedly about Ohio State and Texas. That's why this thing is a toss-up, man. Nobody really knows, and there's no clear-cut favorite. But give Kirby Smart his due.
Uh-huh.
He's damn good, and he's showing you that this season specifically.